الحمد لله وعليكم السلام.
كل عام
وانت طيب. بارك الله فيك.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. I think it's best to announce it now before the actual brothers leave. Next Friday I will not be available. So accept my advanced apologies. Concerning the khutbah today, Al-Qalaq. Does anyone know what qalaq is? Worry. Okay. Sometimes they use the term anxiety. Anxiety. You're anxious in a negative way. To be worried about something, to be distressed, to be over-concerned. Overly concerned about something that doesn't require that much. The Shaykh began his khutbah by saying that the modern civilization has given a lot of attention to the human being and it strove to provide the human being with all kinds of services and facilitate the, you know, matter for him. So it created machinery which flies in the air and others which swim in the ocean and some which move on land, providing thereof physical comfort and tranquility for the human being. Furthermore, it provided him with castles and mansions to live in. It provided him with the most delicious of food and the best of furniture and clothing. Yet, some people simply cannot find real relaxation. They cannot really find comfortability. This is because the human being is not a human being because of his bones and flesh and fat only. Nor is it because of his hearing and ability to speak and his vision. Rather, the human being is a human being because of the soul which exists in his body. Because of the soul. Yes, the soul which none knows about its true essence except Allah. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. They ask you concerning the ruh. Say the ruh is from the matter, from the affair of my Lord, from the command of my Lord, or from the amr, the matters which are only for Allah. And you've been only given of knowledge something that is very minor and insignificant in terms of the knowledge of human beings. The Shaykh said, yes, the ruh is from the command or from the matter of my Lord. This is why the civilization has never been able to truly understand the essence of the soul. So it was putting all of its effort in providing the physical body with ease and facilitation and what have you, but it failed to address the needs of the soul. Because even if your body is comfortable, if your soul is not, then you're not comfortable. I mean, that's just the way it works. So the Shaykh said, he quoted some poetic verses which say, O servant of the body, how wretched you are in servicing it, in striving to please it. Do you seek success in loss? You're making all your effort to make yourself live a happy life. Physical pleasure. Are you trying to invest in something which will lose definitely? Then instead, direct your attention towards your soul and perfect its virtues. Perfect its virtues. Verily, you are a human being because of the soul, not because of the body. The Shaykh said, the existence of anxiety or worry or concern among some people has led them to suffer some mental problems which did not exist amongst our righteous predecessors. And this is because of the weakness of faith or the non-existence of faith. Yes, if the heart is vacant, if it's does not have iman, or if the iman is weak, and there isn't an iman which allows it to understand the natural occurrences and the affairs which is derived from the Quran and the Sunnah, then this person will inevitably lead the life of anxiety and worry. There are four main reasons why people are anxious. Number one, al-khawfu ala al-hayat. Fear for life. meaning fear of loss of life. They want to make sure that they live as long as possible. Because of that fear, they go through all kinds of concerns ensuring their existence. Just like the Yahud. You know, one of them, as Allah says, he would wish he would live a thousand years. And living 1,000 years is not going to move him away from the punishment. I mean, this is coming, it's coming. The second reason is fear for sustenance. Either one fears for his life, or he fears for his wealth, his sustenance, the money which he's got. Thirdly, the fear of something which harms you. Any harmful thing. People are always worried about things harming them. In the case of women, it's spiders and rats and, you know, mice and what have you. For men, usually it's something bigger, like other predators, other animals, or different things which may harm the son of Adam. And lastly, the loss of anything which is beloved to you. Be it your wife or your children or your phone. In many cases nowadays, some people don't mind if his wife goes away, but the phone should stay. No? Well, that's all my personal information. Anyways, the Shaykh said, beloved brothers, Iman had provided us with tranquility or with a peace of mind concerning all of these things. Iman gave us a peace of mind concerning Hayat, life. And he told us that this Hayat, this life of ours, is not controlled by anyone on earth. Rather, it is in the control and in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said, Allah causes the souls to die, to go away, the souls to return to Allah at the time of death. And the one which does not die during its sleep, Allah also takes away these souls. But then Allah will keep hold of the one upon whom death was decreed, and He will send the other one, which was decreed to remain alive, إلى أجل مسمى, until a time which has been fixed. يعني every time you go to sleep, as the ulama explained in the tafsir of the ayat, every time you go to sleep, you actually died. It's a form of death. النوم أخو الموت. It's a minor form of death. And the soul returns to Allah. Some people die in their sleep. And these are the ones whom Allah decreed that they will return to Him during their sleep. The one who wakes up the next morning, Allah returns his soul to him so that he may continue his life until a time which is predetermined. It is known by Allah, and the Malak al-Maut is given instructions to go and claim the soul of the one upon whom Allah decrees death. So it is all already pre-decreed by Allah. Nothing is happening haphazardly. Allah says at the end of that, verily in that are ayat, signs for people who yatafakkaroon, people who reflect, people who think. Not about multiplication, but about how these matters are from the unseen and they're from the great command of Allah. Yani, can you imagine, brothers, how many people exist today? The number of human beings, and Allah arranges the affairs of everyone simultaneously. If you had 1 million employees to try to keep record of who's supposed to get what rizq, and who's supposed to live, and who's supposed to die, who's going to get in an accident, who will be saved, no one will ever be able to do the job. And there's error. Error is a possible, you know, occurrence. But Allah Azza wa Jal amazingly manages all of these things, and not only that, it's easy for Allah. It's easy for Allah. It's nothing, not a big deal. We think this is a big deal. To Allah, this is easy. Very easy. In fact, it is as easy as kun fayakun. Be and it is. That's it. All Allah has to do is make a command and it is done. So reflecting on that will make you fear Allah. That's what the objective of reflection is. Not that we reflect and we stop. The Shaykh said if the whole mankind came together to give you an extra second of life, they will not be able to do so at all. If Allah decreed you will die at, you know, the 10 o'clock, 10, 3 or 3, they cannot make you live an extra second. If all of them came together and worked together to provide you with that particular advantage, they will not be able to do so. So don't make death something which haunts you, something which terrifies you, so that it stops you from living and traveling, and you know, when you enter, when you leave, you're always thinking about death in this negative sense. And you should avoid things which will destroy you. But do not do things which will kill you. And don't be over concerned with death so that you no longer worship Allah. But in terms of not killing yourself, Allah says, وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ Do not use your own hands to destroy yourselves. And really this ayah has a different context back in the day. Now we have a different interpretation of one of the shuyukh mentioned. But don't destroy yourself. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ Do not kill yourselves. But on the other hand, don't be extreme. Always fearing death without preparing for the life to come. Fear death so that it will make you prepare for the life to come. This is praiseworthy. This is the way of the Sahaba and those who came after. But fearing death as in like you fear an animal and you it doesn't lead you to obedience to Allah, this is blameworthy. And it is unacceptable in Islam. The Shaykh said, the second kind, one of the second reasons for anxiety is people fearing over their sustenance. Even though it's already been divided by Allah and pre-decreed. Allah says in the Quran, do they then divide rahmat rabbik, the mercy of your Lord? نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا It is we who have divided their ma'isha, their livelihood amongst them in this worldly life. Allah already divided who will get what. وَرَفَعْنَا بَعْضُهُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا سِخْرِيًّا بَعْضَهُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ And we have raised some of them over others so that others will utilize each other. Yani Allah made some people, one person a mudir and the other one is not. Why? Because Allah decreed that they will be tested. The mudir will be tested with his amana and the employee will be tested with his amana. It's a test for both. Being a mudir doesn't make you better than the employee. If you're not going to fear Allah in this job of yours. And vice versa. Not every mudir is bad because he's a mudir. Some employees are just bad. And the mudir has to deal with them Islamically. You come late, you have to pay for the price. And some people, you know, exaggerate. This mudir, that mudir, akhi, you're not doing your job. And it's an amana for him with Allah that he makes sure that the job is being done. So the mudir has to fear Allah, the employee has to fear Allah. Either way, Allah decreed this kind of relationship as means of testing both of us. Both of them, the one in charge and the one who's under the one in charge. The ayah continues to say, وَرَحْمَةُ رَبِّكَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ The mercy of your Lord is better than all that which they accumulate. The mercy of Allah, the Jannah of Allah, is better than all the money which one may acquire in this worldly life. In another ayah, Allah says, and there isn't a dabba. Dabba is anything which moves on earth. Anything which moves. Animals, insects, human beings, jinn, whatever. Any dabba, except that upon Allah is its sustenance. Meaning everything has already been decreed. Your rizq has been decreed. The Shaykh said, major nations on earth have been sustained by Allah. So do you think Allah will forget about you? If Allah gives a whole nation sustenance, do you think that you will be left alone or that Allah will be heedless concerning you? This is impossible. Allah said in the Quran, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُعَدُونَ In the skies, in the heavens is your sustenance and everything which you have been promised. Because it comes from Allah Azza wa Jal, from Allah down to earth. So it is all already pre-decreed with Allah. Don't fear that your sustenance will go away. Rather have confidence in the one who provides you from the heavens. Without you even being able to account or enumerate that which He sustains you with. And feel at peace. Because Abu Huraira said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O people, verily the one who's rich is not the one who's rich because of having a lot of property. Rather, the one who's rich is the one who is self-sufficient. Meaning who feels satisfied with whatever he has. He's rich because he feels what he has is enough for him. The one who's always looking for more, even if he has a lot of property, he's never really rich. His soul is poor because he's still begging for more. If you're satisfied, you are the rich person. And then he went on to say, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that Allah Azza wa Jal, He shall give His slave what has been decreed of him of sustenance. Then seek the sustenance from Allah. and take that which is halal and leave that which is haram. A very important lesson. Because some people think they can't make business unless they cheat. They can't make business unless they deal with riba. I can't really earn, you know, more money unless I violate Allah's commands. This is a misconception. The Prophet ﷺ said, don't try to get more sustenance by doing that which is haram. Stick to that which is halal. Doing that which is haram may give you some money now, but you will lose a lot later, including the money. Many people who earn money in haram, they lose it just as quick as they make it. Then they lose the dunya and the akhirah. And this is the ultimate loss. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, do not grow impatient concerning sustenance. Verily, no slave shall die until he receives everything which has been decreed as his sustenance. Then take the halal and leave the haram. Furthermore, Umar ibn al-Khattab said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, had you truly relied upon Allah the way you should have relied upon Him, He would have provided you like He provides the birds. They leave with an empty stomach in the morning and they return with a full stomach. The bird goes out to feed itself and its children. And from nowhere Allah brings worms and all kinds of things which the birds find, which it didn't know before it would find. It just goes out, it relies upon Allah, and it goes seeking the rizq. Allah provides it. And if we depend on Allah in the same way, Allah will provide us just like that bird. Once you make the effort and you go out, Allah will provide you. The problem is we have two extremes. Those who don't rely upon Allah, they rely upon businessmen. And those are the ones who fail. They have tawakkul on the makhluk, tawakkul on the creation. They fail. And some people who are supposedly doing tawakkul on Allah, he says, I'm going to sleep in the masjid and whatever Allah has decreed for me will come. Yani he thinks he's going to wake up and find a bag of diamonds, you know, under his head. This is nonsense. And many people who are, you know, among the extreme Sufis and the ascetics, they claim that they're doing tawakkul. As you said, it's haram for you to go look for a job, they say. They say it's haram for you to look for a job. But how are you relying upon Allah when you're looking for a job? But this is incorrect. The Prophet ﷺ said to the man, اعقلها وتوكل. Tie your camel so that it will not run away, then rely upon Allah. Not that you leave it, say, خلاص, inshallah, it will not run away. It will run away. And don't tie it and depend on the rope, because if Allah wills, it will escape from the rope or someone will steal it. No, you have to do two things. You rely upon Allah first and then you utilize the means to earn that living. This is the methodology that we're supposed to be upon concerning the subject matter. The third source of anxiety is fearing some harm, such as disease, accidents, or the death of a relative or something along these lines. But if you knew that this thing which you fear is from Allah, it will become easier for you to deal with it. And you know that Allah will replace you with that which is good in this dunya, and He will give you the great reward in the life to come. And if you knew that Allah only tests you, so He may increase you, He may raise your degree, then also, and to forgive you sin, then you would not feel such anxiety concerning the calamity. And he quoted some ayat from the Quran where Allah says, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. We will test you with evil and good as a trial. Notice the ayah says evil and good. Yani even the good which Allah gives you is a test. You get a better job, it's a test. You lose your job, it's a test. In any case, everything is a test for the believer. We're always being tested around the clock. Let's make sure that we pass the exams. This is why Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu used to say, I have never been afflicted with a calamity except that Allah had four favors upon me in this calamity. Listen to this now. No calamity struck him except that he saw four special favors of Allah in the calamity. They said, how is that? You know, this is a calamity. How are you deducing ni'mah from niqmah? But listen to Umar radiallahu anhu. He said, first, it wasn't in my religion. Yeah, and you got in a car accident and your car was totaled. It's in the junkyard now. Your deen is still there. You're still a Muslim. Alhamdulillah. If your iman got in a car accident or in an accident period and you lost your iman, now this is a calamity. So his iman, his Islam was still there. This is the first ni'mah. That it was not in the matters of the deen. ثانيا أنها لم تكن بأعظم منها. It could have been worse. It wasn't worse than that. Anything which happens, it could have been worse. Anything you can think of that is a major calamity, we say it could have been worse. So remember that Allah made it easy, because Allah could have taken more, or could have afflicted you with even a greater of a calamity. Thirdly, that Allah granted me patience concerning it. Otherwise, you didn't, you know, some people panic and they lose their iman. They start, you know, cursing Allah. You know, this happens among people. They curse Allah and they complain, why did you do this to me? And they say all kinds of nonsense. So he praises Allah. He sees the name of Allah, that Allah gave him patience, that he was able to deal with it adequately. And fourthly, that Allah promised me great reward for it on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Any calamity which befalls you, Allah will give you the reward. What is the evidence? All of you know the ayah. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ We shall surely test you in some form of fear and hunger, and deficiency in wealth and souls and fruits, and give glad tidings to the patient. Those who, when a calamity befalls them, they say, verily, to Allah we belong, and to Him we shall return. It is those upon whom there are salawat from their Lord and mercy, and it is those who are rightly guided. So Allah praises those who are patient when calamity happens. Anytime a calamity befalls you, say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Even if your shoe goes bad, you know, or if you, anything, you hurt your finger, you sprained your ankle, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And add what the Prophet ﷺ taught Ummu Salama, Allahumma ajurni fi musibati wa akhlif li khayran minha. Allah, reward me in this calamity of mine and give me something better. When Ummu Salama made this dua, who did she marry? The Prophet ﷺ, after she had Abu Salama, which was better for her ultimately. So you do the same thing anytime a calamity befalls you. And the fourth thing which the Shaykh spoke of, excuse me, is the death, is the fear of missing or losing something which is beloved, like your job or promotion, marriage, business transaction, whether it is successful or otherwise. Many people become anxious because of their worry that I may lose this, I may lose that. And had the person said, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ مَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ, it would have been better for him. Anything which happens, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَافَعَلْ, Allah decreed and He did what He will, subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no point in worrying about the future, because you don't know what the future will hold for you. You may worry about 10 things and then you die. And all these things you wasted your time worrying about were of no benefit, because you never lived to see them. Or Allah may change your affairs completely. So there's no point in worrying about the future in this sense. In the second part of the khutbah, the Shaykh said, the best cure for anxiety is salah. Salah is the cure for many mental and psychological problems. If you feel, you know, your chest is tight or constricted, make wudu, pray 2 rak'at, and it will go away bi-idhnillah. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to do. If something troubled him, he would escape to the salah and he would say, arihna biha ya Bilal. Comfort us with the salah, O Bilal, call the iqamah so we can begin the salah. Of course, nowadays people have the opposite understanding. They want to, you know, the salah is a heavy weight on their shoulder. It's a burden. So it's like, arihna minha. Please hurry up and call the salah, do the salah so we can go out, you know, and enjoy life. So we've had, you know, we're totally different than the way they used to be. And then we wonder why the Muslims are going through what they're going through. Because look at our relationship with Allah and look at their relationship with Allah. And we want to fix this, you know, with a Mickey Mouse approach. It's not going to happen. Some people want to fix the affair of the ummah with little things here and there. Do this, get involved in the political game, blah, blah, blah. They give you all kinds of lousy solutions. That's not going to solve it. What will solve it is returning back to Allah. All of the Muslims, oh, the majority of the Muslims, let's say, return back to Allah. Practice the deen correctly, the affair will change. Allah will change our affair. It is not some, you know, patch which you put to fix the problem of the ummah. The problem is, look how they used to be and look how we used to be. They use the salah to comfort themselves, and we comfort ourselves by finishing the salah. That's the difference. You all know what I'm talking about. The Shaykh said, the one who prays, however, should have his heart present, bringing to mind the majesty and the greatness of the one whom he's begging and calling. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Who is it then who responds to the distressed when he supplicates to him? وَيَكْشِفُ سُوَنْ He removes harm and evil. And he makes you deputies of earth. أَإِلَهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ Is there any other gods with Allah? طَبْعًا We say, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ Little do you remember. So then reflect upon the greatness of Allah's. Now this is a Merry Christmas ringtone. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you, you may not know it. I lived in a Christian country predominantly. This is a Christian ringtone for Christmas. In the house of Allah. In the house of Allah. It is one thing to leave that silly retarded phone on. In the house of Allah. And it's another thing to have music. And it's a third thing to have Christmas songs. Ya'ani murder. I advise the brothers. Fear Allah. This phone is not made for entertainment. It is not a disco that we are attending every time we come to the house of Allah. This is a masjid. If your smell is bad, you harm the malaika because the human beings are harmed. This music, wallah, harms us. And Allah will hold you accountable for all those who were annoyed by your ringtone in the house of Allah. It is not a joke. Part of your preparation for the salah, turn that thing off. Turn it off. Put it on silent. Worst case scenario, always have a ringtone which is standard. Believe me, if some birds right now made some noise, we wouldn't be that disturbed. We may actually think there are birds outside. No problem. But Christmas songs? Anyways. Allah al-musta'an. Now, so the Shaykh said, reflect then on the greatness of the ayat which you are reciting. This means we have to learn Arabic. Allah says, had we sent down this Quran upon a mountain, you would see it humble and it will crush from the fear of Allah. These are the examples which we strike for the people. Perhaps they may reflect. The Shaykh said, the salah then is a practical solution and a practical treatment for the diseases of the heart. Whether it is hypocrisy or things pertaining to evil eye or jealousy, anxiety, the salah is a cure for all of them, bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal. The second cure, first one is salah, the second was recitation of the Quran. And the Quran has clearly said in the Quran, there has, oh mankind, there has come to you an admonishment from your Lord, وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ And a cure and a treatment for that which is within the chests. And the Quran then is guidance and mercy for the believers. So Allah made the Quran means of treatment. How? Some people think that they, you know, buy this little tiny, you know, mushaf, which you can't read, and you put it in your, you know, glove compartment in the car, Allah will protect your car. Or they bring Ayatul Kursi, and they hang it from the, you know, rear view mirror, and they think they will protect the car. Even worse than that, when it reaches the level of amulets on children, you know that. On the child's undershirt, you know, they get a little pin and they put some dua or some Quran in it and they tie it to the shirt. They think that they have protected their son. And I wonder whether these people realize that some of these children, you know, they wind up dying in an accident. Did you ever wonder why? If this thing was protecting him, how did he die? If this was protecting him, how did he cut himself? I mean, the parents are daily seeing their children wearing this and being harmed and they never stop and think, huh? I guess this thing is not working. That's because it's not from the way of the Prophet ﷺ. This form of minor shirk, which could lead to major shirk, if someone truly believes this creation protects the child, is not allowed in Islam. These are called amulets. Tama'im. And the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever depends on it, Allah will keep him busy with it. Don't depend on them. The Quran will protect you by you reciting it and living according to it. Before you sleep, you recite Qul Huwallahu Ahad, Qul A'udhu Birabbil Falaq, Qul A'udhu Birabbin Nas, and then you blow on your hands and you wipe your body. You recite Ayatul Kursi. No shaitan will come to you until you wake up. In this manner, the Quran is protection. The Quran is cure. Not by hanging it in your house, on the wall, or on your shirt, or putting it in your car. This is not part of Islam. Shocking, but true. It is not part of Islam. We need to take them down instantly. And worse than that is the blue eye. They call it al-kharz al-zarqa, or the blue eye, which is some, you know, some diamond, not diamond, some sort of stone, where they draw, you know, some blue colors, and they think that this will protect you from the evil eye. This is all not from Islam, ya akhwan. Or the horseshoe, you know, the horseshoe on top of the door. And the list goes on, and oh, superstitious belief, shirkiyat. shirkiyat which didn't exist amongst our righteous predecessors. So the Quran is not meant to be hung on the child's shirt or to be put in your car or in your house thinking that Allah will protect you in this fashion. I hate to tell you, or I'm happy to tell you actually, it is not this way. So use the Quran as we are supposed to use the Quran. Then and only then we will truly benefit from it. The third, and we're almost there, Ikhwan. I know you've grown impatient. The third cure is dua. But the Shaykh didn't just say dua, he said kathra to dua. Kathra. And make sure you use kathra. Because you hear some people say, when they get up from ruku', hamdan kaseeran. Huh? They say kaseeran. You know what kaseeran means? Broken. Kasir, kasara, yaksuru, in kasara, broken. Kathir, abundant. So don't say, Allahumma rabbana lakal hamdu hamdan kaseeran. Because you're saying, oh Allah, a praise which is broken. Which is distortion of the hadith and distortion of the ayah. Learn how to say tha. You use it in English all the time. Theater. No one says, I went to the theater. Say, I went to the theater. Bring that tha from theater and put it in. Kathiran. Hamdan kathiran. Is that clear? Does anyone have an issue in saying tha? I don't think so. But make sure you apply it when you get up from ruku' or anytime you come across this term. Udhkurullah dhikran kathiran. Not kathiran. Anyways, a lot of dua. Allah says, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Your Lord said, call on me, I will reply, I will answer you. Allah promised us. Allah does not betray the promise. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there isn't a Muslim who makes a single supplication in which there's no sin and there's no severing of kinship ties, except that Allah will give him one of three things. Anytime you make dua where you're not, it's not a sinful dua, by making dua which is unacceptable in Islam, like asking Allah to destroy someone who shouldn't be destroyed or something like that. Or you're not asking Allah to sever the kinship ties. Three things will happen to you, or one of three things will happen to you. Listen to this. Either Allah will expedite your dua, as in Allah will give you what you want, if Allah knows it's good for you. Or Allah Azza wa Jal will give you something, will give you the equivalent of reward for it in the life to come. Yeah, and you ask for something Allah doesn't give you, but the ajr of that, the equivalent of that, Allah will save for you until Yawm al-Qiyamah. So you will get all these rewards and you say from where? It will be said from the dua which you made, which Allah decreed that it wouldn't be answered because it wasn't good for you to begin with. Because you may ask for something that is bad. You may see a beautiful woman and you say, oh Allah, make her my wife. And Allah knows. One more time, I'ma snap it. Another Christmas song. Allah may decree that this woman will be the source of your destruction. It'll be the reason. So you may beg Allah day and night to give you this woman in marriage, and it doesn't happen. Alhamdulillah. Know that Allah will give you the ajr of all this dua you made for the whole year, if you've been doing it for a whole year. But Allah will not give you this woman because Allah knows she's no good for you. So we have to have this mentality. Some people think that Allah works for them, wal-iyadu billah. I asked, well, I didn't get anything. Ya akhi, it doesn't work this way. What do you know? You think there's goodness in this thing. Allah knows there isn't. He doesn't give it to you. You have to trust Allah. You have to trust Allah that what He gives you is good, and what He doesn't give you is also good. Because Allah always does good for the believer. عَجَبًا لِأَمْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِ فَإِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ خَيْرٌ. The Prophet ﷺ taught us, amazing is the affair of the believer, all of it is good. If something bad happens, it's good. If something good happens, it's good, as long as we are thankful and patient. So we need to, you know, internalize these facts. And the last thing which will happen, Allah will alleviate or will stop a calamity which was going to befall you equivalent to that dua. Yeah, and you make dua to marry this woman. And Allah knows that this woman is not good for you, so He doesn't give her to you in marriage. However, Allah decreed that you were going to get in a car accident next week. Because of all of this dua you're making for one thing, Allah will remove for you the accident on the other side. So it's a win-win situation. You make dua, either Allah will give it to you, or He will save it for you until Yawm al-Qiyamah, or He will alleviate or remove a harm which was going to befall you. Meaning you will never lose by making dua. It's a win-win situation, subhanAllah. This is from the mercy of Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. They said, so the Sahaba said, they liked it. They liked this fact, this idea. They said, إِذَا نُكْثِرْ, shall we then do this abundantly? He said, Allahu Akthar, Allah is even more abundant. Meaning you do it, and Allah will always do this to you as well. So, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. The last thing the Shaykh quoted in a dua, some of the adab of dua which we should be aware of, and we will conclude the khutbah with this. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that Allah will continue, or the slave will continue to have his supplications answered, as long as he does not supplicate for something sinful or severing the kinship ties, and as long as he doesn't become hasty. Yani you want it right away. No, it doesn't come on your time. It comes when Allah knows it's good for you. You may want it now, but Allah knows it is not the time for it now. So don't become hasty. I asked, I didn't get. So they said to the Messenger of Allah, O Messenger of Allah, what do you mean by becoming hasty? He said, you say, I supplicated, and no one responded. Allah did not respond to me. So then, he will become tired of that, and he will stop making dua. Don't do that. Don't have this attitude that you asked, you didn't get. Because we said three things already happened. Probably the other two things, which is Allah not giving you what you want, but still, it's not going unattended. Inna Rabbi, لَسَمِيعُ الدُّعَى. Ibrahim taught us, Allah is the one who hears the supplication. Meaning Allah hears it, as in He hears it, and it means Allah will respond and reply to the supplication. Both of them are understood from the tafsir of the ayah. And the last thing, the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whosoever is afflicted with a calamity, and he goes and he complains to the people, Allah Azza wa Jal will not fulfill his need. And whosoever is afflicted with a calamity, and then he relies upon Allah, he knows it is from Allah, very soon Allah is about to sustain him, whether now or later. Yani some people, they complain, they tell on Allah to other people. Look what happened to me, this is how it happened to me. And they complain, about Allah. It's supposed to be the other way around. Complain to Allah about what is happening to you in the dunya. Like Ya'qub alayhi salam. He said, I only ashku bathi wa huzni ila Allah. I only complain to Allah. He's not complaining to the creation. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. Beautiful patience. And Allah is the one whose aid is sought concerning that which you describe and that which his children had lied concerning Yusuf alayhi salam. The conclusion is, the solution for anxiety is salah, recitation of the Quran, and dua. But these three has to be according to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because people use all three in ways other than the sunnah, and they still have problems. The only real solution is applying these three, salah like the Messenger of Allah prayed alayhi salatu wasalam, and dua like he made dua, and the Quran as he taught us. It would be means of remedy and ruqya, not by using tamaim and other than that. So we ask Allah to enable us to act upon these things and to remove anxiety from our lives. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. This coming Monday in the International Medical Center, a lecture titled, Do I Have a Choice? After Salatul Isha, all of you are invited to attend. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.